Hello and welcome to History Givalish. In this podcast, lots of interesting historical chit-chat will greet you every Saturday. My name is Jin Han and...
Johan Kwon.
Yeah, so we finally begin. After all, lots of preparations and some meditations. So, yeah, we'll conduct this podcast in a year. So it's an annual plan.
So can you tell me what things we're going to talk about this year?
Yeah, well, the topic of this year is progress and revolution. So of course we'll talk about such revolutions from like famous ones, like famous French revolutions, American revolutions, and glorious revolutions of British guys, and communist revolutions of Russians, and to a bit minor events such as the March Revolution in Germany, French Revolution, the February Revolution of French, an Iranian Revolution, and more. And also we'll deal with some philosophies and notions like reactionaries and enlightenment. It's going to be some hard time to say those things. And for the people who like Asia, there will be some days talk about some revolutions in Asia, like the Japanese Meiji Restoration and Chinese Revolution. So we are on a very long journey.
Oh, wait a sec. Before we start today's conversation, as some listeners may not know about the keystone or the substance of these revolutions, can you give us a simple explanation about what these revolutions actually meant in history?
Okay, that's a very good point. Wow. I won't say in detail because we'll deal with those revolutions after podcast, later episodes, but the common things along those revolutions are they changed at least one thing. They made a huge turning point in history. So in after Glorious Revolution, although it's de jure only in the law, the power of the king is legally restricted by the noblemen. It's kind of first try to legalize the king's power and authority under the law. And French Revolution, we all know that French people killed their kings and established their own government, republic. And Iranian Revolution, after the revolution, the king, the Pahlavi dynasty has collapsed, and Ayatollah Khomeini established his own kingdom of gods in Iran. And Chinese Revolution, all we know, Mao Zedong, Deng Xiaoping, the Chinese Communist Party, CCPs. Well, so let's start today's conversation and our journey with this question. What is progress? What do you think progress is, Johan?
Well, progress, it's hard to define because it's a snapshot thing. Before, as you mentioned, like in France, citizens revolt to the government or the kings to make a change. And these days, I think it's more abstract than ever because some people, they insist neo-Marxism, some people insist postmodernism, and some say it's the end of history because the democracy is perfect and there's nothing else that we can change. So yeah.
Wow, your answer is more than I expected. Thanks. So then it's quite complicated to answer. Then let me paraphrase the question again. Let me give you another question, because you know this concept is quite closely related to what we called progress. What do you think modernity is?
Modernity. I think progress, it's not limited in the government area. So I think modernity, these days it has deep connection with the cyber world or the internet. And I think internet revolution also leads the government's revolution. So I think modernity, it has to do with the cyber world.
Okay, then I will give you another question, additional question, endless question. Sorry for that. But then what do you think that, what did some people in medieval era or people in some, can I say, the era of French Revolution, How did they think about the modernity? What did they think about modernity? How did they define modernity?
Modernity, I think yes, it was, as lots of historians say, the beginning, as it's the beginning of democracy. They insisted rights, they insisted freedom to vote, and I think modernity, it was welfare.
Welfare.
Yeah, because that's what they wanted. They want the kings and the queens to share the things they had from taxes. Welfare was modernity.
Johan's answer is quite exemplary thing of one historiography, which we will talk about later episode in December, I think. It's called the perspective of Johan's answer is called Whig historiography, which is started in UK, and it's the historiography, like Johan said, sets some ideal goal or ideal target of all the history, like constitutional monarchy of the UK, and democracy and parliament politics and human rights. And the Whig historians insisted that every progressive history has been followed the trail of the UK past. And they insist that there is kind of universal and absolute power to evolve history, like, in that way. But Johan, did you notice that I said insisted, or they said? So it's an it's a past tense, because in this era, so now Whig historiography is severely criticized, because some kind of, now historians said this is kind of the old method, we shouldn't apply this method to our research. So about the reason and in detail was about Whig historiography, we'll talk about later in this December, according to our plan. Wait a second. Right. Like 2 weeks before the Christmas. Well, yeah. Both the questions, so what is progress or what is modernity, is are really hard to say. Like, progress is blah blah and modernity is blah blah, like Johan said, because these terms have two various meanings. Like, for Europeans, breaking with their past, so breaking with their medieval era, was the progress. And for Japanese, in I think 19th century, becoming the Western, being resemble with some European guys like Prussia or the UK or the US, was modernity. And for communists, like, they believed it was their mission to bring the advancement to the world, proletariat dictatorship to the world. And for postmodernist, the progress meant dismantling the modernity and overcoming it. Yeah, quite blurry, isn't it? But there is one common thing among this bunch of meanings of the modernity. And can you guess what it is?
I don't know, as you mentioned Europe a lot, maybe it has a quite connection with Europe.
Yeah, it's not quite connection, but it's absolutely linked with Europe. So everything modern is related to Europe or the Western. And, you know, some people criticize us that, oh, you racist, oh, you Eurocentrified people, oh, you, what can I say, you don't respect Asians or the Easterns value and history and tradition and culture. But, you know, it's true, and we're not biased, we're not Eurocentrified. But it's true that it's, what can I say, because that, what, the, what can I say, the def, distinction of the time of the history, like medieval era, ancient era,
yeah,
and modern. It is from Europe. It is mm-hmm. advised by some scholars from Renaissance era. So it's essentially linked with European values. And, well, actually, frankly speaking, it's hard to apply these time distinctions to some non-European regions' history, like Asia or China, Korea,
right,
or even America.
Yeah, I think it's really based on the gap of the length of history, because for example, United States, they did revolute. Now they have guns, they have freedom, but it's just been like 200 or 300 years.
Yeah, it's they really didn't hard to imagine the medieval era of the US, like the can we say the era of American Native Americans era as a medieval era of the United States? No, it's not.
Yes, right. Because their experience as a government or a community has disappeared.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I never thought that talking like this blah blah like this continuously is hard things. I realize it now. Well, for a second. So let's move to another question. Like I questioned before, some minutes ago. How did the people in medieval era think modernity? Did they think their time as a modern time? What do you think about it?
Not sure. I think I would like to say no, not just because I'm living in the century, like 300 years far away from them, but because, for example, at that time, way after, but even when Weimar Constitution, which has become like the basis of today's constitutions, it was super short compared to what we have right now. And I think what they had, the basis of their revolution, their acts, their mind, their thinking, or the Communist Party, or democracy, welfare, I think it was very short, it was simple. It was not enough to explain everyone's situations. So I think they would have thought that, oh, we are the start, we are beginning, we're shooting this gun to change the world of equality.
So you think that before the series of revolutions, or before like French Revolution, there is no modernity. So in medieval era, there wasn't modernity. The people...
I can't define that there wasn't modernity, but absolutely, we all know that it didn't show out as something great, as those revolutions we mentioned before.
What can I say? Did people in medieval France, did they think their life is modern in their perspective? Well, this era of church and Christianity, like the era of feudalism, serfdom.
Mm-hmm.
When then did the serfs, which worked really hard under the rule of their lord, their knights?
Yes.
Did they think, oh, but we live in some modern world, we live in a better world than the ancients, while they're working under the blazing sun and continued for like 100 hours a week?
Yeah.
What did they think like that?
Something this might just pop into my brain. So maybe I think they may have thought that, oh, we are experiencing modernity, because like Jesus, he died 2,000 years ago, which became like the standard of how we count centuries or time. I think since medieval ages, it's been like 1,000 years after that, they may have thought, oh, we did make a progress, we did develop, and we are maybe doing something noble.
That's right. Do you have things, other things to say? You have other things to say? You seem like very, I want to talk more and talk more.
Well, yeah, it's mixed because we always, as humans, we think about the future. Because I know that we are not, like, we are in the middle of something. We're not the end of history, right? Yeah, for sure. As many science and historians say. And yeah, I think as humans, as we always look beyond something far away. Maybe they did think, on the other hand, maybe they did think that, oh, we're not modern enough, but maybe they didn't have an idea of what would happen in the future. Maybe they wouldn't have imagined smartphones, I mean, with that.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely they felt some modernity in that era, even they live in some world of Christianity. But, you know, it's quite questionable that did they think modern times as a good thing? Did they recognize modern time as a good thing and develop things? They could felt some kind of, what kind of happiness that they are living in some era which is developed with than the time of infidels, the time of non-believers. Yeah, but in fact, in medieval era, modernity, or in Latin, modernitas, is not that, had the not that good meaning. So there was a bishop named Bertolt von der Lachenau. He said that this modern times, or Latin modernitas, the temper modernitas, is a kind of unfaithful era. We have to overcome it because in this era, the church doesn't guarantee the authority of each bishop and each priest.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, for the church's perspective, or the perspective of Bertolt, this time, the modern time, is not the good era. We have to return to the Jesus's era, the ancient era, which when all people lived in faithful faith. pursued to entering the kingdom of heaven. But also, what can I say? Not every medievalians rejected the concept of modernity. Well, lots of scholar philosophers like Thomas Aquinas said, well, he did not oppose the value of reason, though this he was also the quite a faithful scholar and priest.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is right that the point that the modernity start to be recognized as a positive concept, positive value, is from the era of Renaissance.
Right.
What do you know about Renaissance, Johan?
Well, I know some about Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And like in the Italy area.
Yeah.
Venice?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact name, but yeah, I know that Venice. It started from their likes, because they liked art. But since artists weren't financially wealthy enough to keep on their living, as far as I know, they helped artists on to get their artworks in return.
Well, I like your way of speaking, Mike. Michelangelo, because you didn't say Michelangelo. well, in fact, the Renaissance man, Renaissanceans, consider that the so well, 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 well. So what can I say? Let me prepare my word. My tongue is twisted. Well, let's talk about some different things before we talk about Renaissance. Mm-hmm. So what do people usually think about? What image would image use do people usually think when they listen the word the Middle Age?
Middle Age,
the era of darkness or era of fantasy. Yeah.
Before 14th century or until 16th, between that time, I think it was, as we mentioned before, all about art, that Renaissance. And without that, I think most people think about knights.
Knights.
Yeah, knights. It's definitely something. It's a definite keyword of it.
Knights. Castles.
Yeah.
Castles and princes, peasants.
Yes, all that system.
All the system and all the fantastic stories. Well, yeah. And I'm glad to see that you were overcoming the myths of the dark age of the Middle Age. Like people, yeah, I didn't know how people in current time think, but when I start to be one, start to be, what can I say? Start to study history. It's quite common belief that the Middle Age was the dark era, the time of darkness, because mm-hmm. after the Roman Empire collapsed and after mm-hmm. the Christianity that possessed the rule of Europeans, progress of science.
Yeah, right.
Rational thought was suppressed, and only the word of Jesus, only the doctrine of Christianity was emphasized. There was emphasis of Christianity. Yeah, that's true. And it was also true that in the Middle Age, the Christianity ruled. Took a role of the kind of only government, only the ruling power in the European world, but you know that now we all know that Middle Age, the Dark Age myth is mm-hmm. just a mere myth, and the Renaissancean invented the myth, and they use this myth to attack the Middle Ages.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I think what you mentioned is important, because like in the Middle Ages, as the Christians, well, the Catholic, it was on the very top of everything. They kind of regulated people. For example, what Galileo said, that it's actually the earth that's spinning around the sun.
Yeah.
And for example, as some people insisted, if God made this whole world, why can't we paint the sky blue? Because like they actually regulated them from painting the sky blue, and yeah, I think they always kept insisting the vision of God. The God is always watching you, and it kind of replaced constitutions, laws, regulations, right, these days, and kept people out morally. Yeah.
Yeah, they thought to what can I say, some existential questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, right. So the Renaissance, man of Renaissance, or people in Renaissance era start to question about against the Christianity. And yes. Although still Christianity and Christian tradition was the major part of the people's life in even Renaissance era.
Yeah.
Like lots of scholars and lots of artists. Mm-hmm. Their past, the Middle Ages, is quite, they consider it quite dumb to lingering some the entity we cannot understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this the myth of the Dark Age was strengthened mm-hmm. after like 400 years after the Renaissance era. So, have you heard about the name Jakob Burckhardt?
What?
Jakob Burckhardt. It's a
Swiss. Jakob Burckhardt?
Yeah, Jakob Burckhardt is this guy.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems that you don't know. You don't.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, you have no clue. So he's he. What can I say? Yeah, he. Well, he's dead now. So he's he was a Swiss art historian, and he's a refounder. So he refound the era named Renaissance in the history. So before the Jakob Burckhardt, Renaissance was nearly forgotten from the people. So, well, yeah. So the history was shaped as the one of the study, not the kind of the novel's hobby, this how to spend the free time. Well, at least I know that history was formed as one study in 18th century, I think. Mm-hmm. And Jakob Burckhardt was born the 20th century. So for 200 years, it was too short time to find the value of Renaissance to people or historians, because there were so lots of things to deal with, to history and deal with, like some 18th century was some kind of era of war and lots of innovation, lots of revolution. Right. So historians had no time to deal with some ancient problems like Renaissance. And Jakob Burckhardt studied the Renaissance again. And now, thanks for him, we recognize and we know that Renaissance is kind of glamorous period in Europe history, the cultural history of humanity. Well, but it was good to find the value of Renaissance again. But Jakob Burckhardt, his predecessor, Renaissance man's, attacked the Middle Age severely, because it was the opposite of the Renaissance, which he admired. So the mist of the Dark Age strengthened. Oh, well, my tongue is totally dry.
Like Renaissance, another way, it's a century. It's a timeline where the halves actually shared, the exploited. They didn't stop from making a system of monopoly. They did share what they have.
Yeah.
They did have a trade between them. It wasn't like the Dark Ages where they had the mist, where the halves continuously exploited the exploited. And as Jakob Burckhardt's perspective, he may have not liked it, because without that Dark Ages, maybe Renaissance could have developed much better. More artworks made.
Well, yeah. Well, it can be kind of one reason that Jakob Burckhardt and lots of Renaissance attacked the Middle Age, because in Middle Ages there wasn't wide network of interactions.
Right.
Like the Renaissance did, or some modern people. So like after 18 centuries, modern people did. Because they didn't want to trade in middle people in Middle Ages, because they thought that trade is a strengthening my rival's power by using my goods. So they didn't do that much, and of course as trade wasn't that practiced that eagerly, the interaction between regions and regions were weakened. Well, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
It was quite positive things. we cannot say positive that easily than before the, you know, the virus things. Positive.
Aha. Right.
It's quite a good thing, yeah. Instead of positive. It's quite a good thing. Oh yeah. And let's go to the Arab Alignment. Let's go to the Arab Alignment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Again, this question will be, discussion is coming up. What do you know about alignment?
Wait, I can't hear you. What do I know?
Okay, what do you know about the era of enlightenment thinkers?
Era of enlightenment?
Yeah, enlightenment. Like, did they admire the Middle Ages to the target of their return, or they hate their past like Renaissance did?
Not honestly, I don't know much about Age of Enlightenment, but
okay, so it's not your kind of interested area.
Yeah, I think they wanted something like a strong sense of idea which wouldn't be affected by the change of time or by their ancestors or descendants' thoughts. They wanted something for sure, because like it was a mixed world. It was, there were wars, there were revolutions, and yeah, I think that I know that they tried to really define what happiness is and how to find it. Yes, that's what I know.
Mm-hmm. Then, well, I think I can help you with this thing, with this question. Well, with this word, what can I say by saying this? I'm not good at English that much.
Nah.
Well,
perfect.
Well, so Arab. Well, is it quite later? Is it later? Later than Arab Enlightenment? I can't know that in detail. But isn't Europe started to? Didn't Europe start to think? What can I say? They are superior to other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Arab imperialism.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, well, they're, what can I say, the superiority, the spirit of superiority wasn't targeted only other reason, but targeted some aimed other era. So, well, lots of French Enlightenment thinkers like Voltaire or some Rousseau, and lots of thinkers that argued actively, but we don't remember anymore.
Oh, well, yeah, right.
In general, they think that ancient, so they didn't use the term Middle Ages or Renaissance or medieval that much, but they used the term ancient instead of medieval. And they used the term kind of, what can I say, despite, so they use to despise other things or other people they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
They use the term ancient to attack other people and other traditions or customs that they don't like, which they think it should be abolished, it should be destroyed, to if the world want to be advanced. So, well, mm-hmm. it was quite similar, the usage of the word barbarian in the era of imperialism when mm-hmm. European colonial empire found some indigenous people in some Asias or Africa.
Right.
Well, yeah, but also some they, but yeah, you know, Arab Enlightenment is Arab thinkers, you can also say. And what What will there be if there are tons of thinkers and they argue to each other in every day? What we're gonna be?
Wait, sorry, I wasn't able to hear you.
Okay. So let's assume if there are tons of thinkers in some region, mm-hmm. in some place, and if they argued with each other and every day, then
yeah,
what's gonna happen?
There are two paths. One, if positively, they would be able to develop lots of ideas. Maybe they were able to be, they could be a proof that, oh, democracy is not the end of history. It's not perfect. Maybe we are also in the dark ages. Maybe we are trapped inside the frame that democracy is perfect, just like as some people in the dark ages and the medieval ages thought, oh, God is perfect. Yeah. And maybe that may be a positive path of that argument. Negatively, I think it would just end in war, like imperialism. I'm right. Since I am right and they're wrong, we have to conquer them. We have to exploit them and teach them what is right. I think that will be the two things that may happen.
Yeah, right. There are some kind of there will be some kind of intellectual turmoil if there are tons of them, hundreds of thinkers. And it happened in some 18th century, 19th century France also, or Europe also. So, and yeah, some people also thought that modernity is the idea of after revolution, so after European overcame the rule of the ancien regime, the old regime before the French, yeah. the revolution, French Revolution. But some thinkers didn't regard the value of the past, so what they called ancient, as a bad thing. It's quite funny that they distinct some old and the new old. So they distinguish the old ancient and new ancient, mm-hmm. and some thinkers insisted that maybe those traditions or values, customs, ideas of the new words, the art of new ancient, would be better than the modern art, modern thoughts, modern ideas, that we have now. It was quite funny that they hate ancient, but they liked more than ancient.
Yeah, well, maybe they had to think that way to reenact maybe the glory of Roman Empire. Because
yeah,
we do have to admit the Roman Empire, they had very developed science technologies, like they had the dams, the bridges.
Yeah, like. Yeah, although the rule of Christian dogma, mm-hmm. has never ended in Western society.
Yeah.
We can say the start point of admiration toward some Greco-Roman culture, Greco-Roman classical civilization is the mm-hmm. era of French Revolution, or something yes. a bit before then, that era. Yeah. Then, after the revolutionary era, modernity is, and in that era is quite hard to say what is modernity, or how did people of that era think modernity is, because after the era, the revolutions, after the world, the history entered the phase of 19th century, the turmoil of the two great world wars.
Mm-hmm.
So the ideologies and ideas started dispersed. And every one individual had their own thought, their own perspective towards the world. So, well, for communists who supported some Soviets, it was right. Modernity to eradicate all the capitalist pigs and establish the Soviet heaven in this world.
Yeah.
But right. Also some postmodernists, like you said, like Adorno or some Walter Benjamin.
Yeah.
Well, their thoughts were based on the legacy of German Romanticism. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of art, it's a kind of trend of art or literature, so you don't need to try to understand it now. It's quite complicated.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And the German thinkers after the World War or in the World War, the Second, World War Second, mm-hmm. or after the World War the First, try to overcome and dismantle what they call the modernity. So they start to think that maybe in history there isn't kind of goal we have to reach. So maybe there is no prepared destination to us.
Right.
So still it's hard to define what is modernity and make the answer to the question, to this question, that every people, every scholars can accept.
Maybe that's the keystone of the podcast, making endless questions and answers. It will be the listeners who would have to answer this thing based on their situations and thoughts.
Yeah, maybe after more than 10 podcasts revolutionaries or reactionaries or what is progress, and when mm-hmm. in the last episode we could talk about what is modernity, and we could answer to the question in detail. I hope that right. after all this gibberish, which is made by some Korean who are good at English and Korean who are terribly bad at English.
What? No.
Don't you think it's quite some kind of torture to listen to this podcast while I'm saying.
Well, maybe, because we just made endless questions. We never gave the listeners an answer, but
So
it's the keystone of it.
So this is why the entire focus is historic gibberish, not the kind of the German history podcast or what is it's just gibberish. It's like 40 minutes long gibberish.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hope that we hope to find some distinctive answer or some accepted answer we can understand. The answer we can understand, we can recognize it as an answer. We made it something to the end of this long journey.
Well, right.
Thank you for listening all those gibberish for more than 3 minutes, and we will be here again in next 2 weeks later, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yes. Thank you.